Mikey Pod episode 110 for November 25th, 2007. Conversation with George Tapp.
Say your prayers tonight. If you make amends, All right, joining me on the phone right now is George Tabb, who is a you're a guitarist, right? I mean, I was watching some of your videos. You're a guitarist, singer, writer.
Yeah, I started out as a guitarist. I like guitar best, but I became a singer because I got frustrated with lead singers.
Ah, that makes sense.
I like to think of myself as a guitar player, but unfortunately I sing too because all the lead singers get these like Jesus complexes, and it's like, oh, enough of this.
Make it stop.
So now I can get myself a Jesus complex. Yay.
Perfect. So I first discovered you on LiveJournal, who's now a mutual friend. He's always been a mutual friend, I guess. Posted your video, The Smoking Gun, which talks about your experience with 9/11 and everything since. And it's hard. I've been doing a lot of reading today about all of these and watching videos of you on the news. So I have kind of a scattered picture of how the whole thing comes together. So maybe could you throw together a timeline about kind of what the whole story is for you?
Sure. In a nutshell, I was living downtown on September 11th, 2001, and a few blocks from the World Trade Center. And I was there when it all went down. I got caught up in all that dust. I moved back home into all that dust when I reopened downtown 10 days later, and my apartment was like, it was like first snowfall of the year. It was crazy. And cleaned it all up, and turns out in my apartment the vents were blowing backwards and it was totally contaminated, and I breathed all the stuff in. And I was down there for months and months and months during fires and all that kind of stuff, and now I'm sick from the toxic air from 9/11.
So, like, it was a while after the EPA said it was safe to go back that they then said that it was not really as safe as they first suspected. Am I understanding that correctly?
Sort of. They said it was safe, right? They said it was, I think, September 18th that said the air was safe. A couple days later, they said it was safe, but they really made a big clear statement there on September 18th that the air was safe and, you know, everyone can return home. And I did return home, and after I cleaned all that dust up and stuff, I started having really bad headaches and nosebleeds and even, like, eye bleeds and stomach aches and all these weird things. And I was like, something is not right. I mean, okay, they tell you that metallic taste in your mouth is normal, but it's not dangerous, you know. And they said all these smells were, you know, normal and not dangerous, but I started getting really sick and ended up in the ER a couple times, as did my ex-wife, and I became really curious. I was like, you know, something really bad is happening here. So I met up with a neighbor of mine named Joel Kupferman, who ran a thing called the New York Law and Environmental Justice Project. And we just ran into each other on the street one day, probably around the end of September of that month, and we were both really curious about what was going on with the air, and started working together. And we got some scientists and ran some tests in my apartment and around my building, and were shocked at the results that we had compared to what the EPA was saying.
Right.
And it was absolutely crazy numbers of chemicals. You know, there's no limit. Asbestos is lethal at any limit. And now the EPA is saying, well, 1%. You know, or whatever, safe. And I was like 555%, you know, so it's crazy stuff. Lead and mercury levels were like 90 times the safe numbers, PCBs, benzene, all that stuff. It was just all over everything, and organic matter. Basically, they shouldn't have ever opened up Lower Manhattan. There was too much poison downtown. But they did it, I'm sure they did it to reopen Wall Street, because if they didn't, the market may have crashed. It could have started World War III. I don't know. I don't know if it was the right decision or not. But certainly, they should be. The government should be responsible for taking care of people who got sick from this, meaning residents and volunteers like myself, or the cops and the firefighters, stuff like people who are really sick and dying. And the city and the government are still denying that any of this is due to 9/11. And it's amazing. They've just begun admitting that things like bad coughs and sinus congestion may be due to 9/11. I mean, and some ulcers in your stomach because the dust is caustic. But that's as far as they'll admit, and that's as far as they'll cover if you get into a program. But, you know, they're drawing an arbitrary line in the body. This stuff spreads all over your body and causes problems everywhere.
Right, right.
And problems everywhere.
The line is, where was it, from the abdomen up or even higher than that? I can't remember what it said.
I think it's from like the middle of the stomach up to the sinuses. That's it.
So that's all that...
That's all they'll deal with. But I mean, if you have cancer or anything else, they won't accept that. They'll say that's not from 9/11. And it's funny because you talk to the doctors and scientists running these programs, and you say, okay, what if 10 people were exposed in the same room to 9/11 dust and they all had leukemia? Would you say that this cancer was caused by 9/11 dust? And they say, well, we can't say, you know. So it's a joke. It's become like scientists and doctors, you know, I like to do studies for like 50 years and then determine something, or even longer. And the problem is that people are sick and dying right now, and they just have to take responsibility and say, okay, you know, most likely this cancer or this problem is caused by this because look how many other people have it, and let's treat it and let's deal with it so these people don't die and go broke, you know, or both.
Yeah.
And that their families are taken care of. I mean, firefighters and cops went down there, and, you know, a lot died and a lot lived. And the ones who lived and stayed down there to help are very sick, and they can't talk about it because what's happening is the city is threatening the firefighters and the police department with their pensions, saying if you talk about it, we're not going to give you a pension. We're going to fire you, and you're not going to have your pension. And most people have families and stuff, and they have to take care of their kids. And they're also actually firing people. Cops and firefighters are being fired early so they don't get their pensions. It's a mess. The whole thing is a mess, and they can't talk about it. They'd like to talk about it, but they're being bullied into not talking about it right now.
So is all of that bullying and preventing people to talk to I guess I'm trying to figure out what the goal is.
Why would they be doing this? You know, I had asked myself that for a long time. Why wouldn't you want to help the people who helped everybody else? Why wouldn't you? And I think the answer comes down to real estate. In the end, I'm sorry to say it, it probably comes down to money. And there's a lot of money invested in Lower Manhattan. A lot of buildings, a lot of people own them, a lot of land down there, and a lot of buildings. And talk about the contamination and how dangerous it is if it's not cleaned up right, can really drive the value really low.
Right.
I mean, it'd be like Chernobyl or something. And that's really what it is like down there, but no one's admitting it. You know, no one's going to want to move into Chernobyl. So, but Lower Manhattan is like that, and no one wants to admit it. And even the media, which is hysterical, but, you know, like, the major media owns a lot of buildings down there. So even they are not interested in covering this because they've got investments down there.
Yeah.
So it's really being covered up completely.
Yeah.
Minimally talked about, and it's scary, but, you know, if people don't want to lose their investments, I think eventually they're going to have to admit it, but maybe after they dump their investments, they can admit it. But right now, you know, no one wants to admit anything.
Yeah, and by the time, you know, they're able or forced to admit it, how many people have not been taken care of? You know, I mean, I guess the big thing for me is how many people to save, you know, these corporations and the people who have interest in these buildings money are being, you know, swept under the rug and having
right. Well, they're waiting for them all to die. Basically, everyone's being swept under the rug, waiting for them to die, so that they don't have to pay anything. And meanwhile, Wall Street is actually in the process of decentralizing, moving all over the country, so that this doesn't happen again, where they can bomb one place.
Oh, right.
So that's happening right now. And a lot of businesses, if you go down there, there's a lot of vacant buildings down there. And they keep talking about building a Freedom Tower and building stuff down there. And there's a big hole in the ground. And half the buildings down there are empty because no one wants to be down there. So, you know, the idea that they're going to build a tower is ludicrous. It's just all talk, I think, to make the country feel patriotic and good, which is all fine and dandy. But, you know, there was a lot of money allocated to people who were injured from 9/11 and sick. And none of that money is going to the people. I mean, some of it is going to these little programs to take care of a cough or take care of, you know, a sinus problem. But most of the money, there's millions, is I bet, you know, going in bureaucrats' pockets. It's certainly not going to the people who need it.
Right. Well, among your health issues, sinus issues, you had asthma before, but this made it worse.
Right. I got asthma before 9/11, but it was like no big deal.
Right.
You know, I think anyone who lives in New York City for 10 years or over is going to get asthma. It's just, you know,
yeah.
City. But afterwards, it got awful.
Yeah.
And also, I had some stomach problems before, but they got worse after. I think what the 9/11 stuff does is just blow out your immune system.
Right.
And make you susceptible to anything. Right now, you know, I've had 3 surgeries on my intestines for diverticulitis, which is something I didn't even know what it was until I had it. And they removed parts of my colon. And now it turns out they've just diagnosed me with polycystic kidney disease, which is a disease where you get cysts on your kidneys and your liver. And they can even be in your brain. I'm being tested for that now. And there's no cure for it. There's no treatment. There's no cure. The way people die from this is high blood pressure and pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're doing research. They've been doing research for years to figure out a cure for this thing, but so far, no luck. And I've got it really good. And so I'm just trying to remain calm and not get my blood pressure up because it'll literally kill me.
Yeah.
But I'm so infuriated by the government covering this all up. It's like a double-edged sword, you know. I can't get really angry because I'm gonna die. But
yeah.
And again, it makes you so angry because it's not just me. I mean, this is happening to thousands of people, and a lot of people have died already, and they've done autopsies on them and found cysts all over their bodies. This old nun who left her body to science after 9/11 because she was convinced she died of poisoning. They found cysts inside her. A lot of firefighters who have died, they've autopsied and found cysts. There's weird stuff, genetic mutations actually happening. The polycystic kidney disease I have is a smoking, that's why I call it the smoking gun of 9/11, is because the only way to get polycystic kidney disease in the world is to inherit it. Either your parents have to have it. It has to be in your family, or else it doesn't exist. And it's passed down, and both my parents did not have it. I have autopsies of both of my parents who died years ago, and mm-hmm. neither of them had it. Also, they would have noticed if I had it years ago, because I've had many, many abdominal CAT scans and MRIs for other problems. You know,
okay.
Because my appendix were taken out and stuff. But after 9/11, cysts started growing very, very quickly. And now they're growing so quick and out of control that they're bigger than my kidneys.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and it's amazing. And doctors are stumped. They're like, "You have to have inherited it." I'm like, "I didn't inherit it." And then if you do a research online, you look up polycystic kidney disease and chemical under Google, you'll find that there have been animal tests with like benzene and PCBs and stuff, and they expose mice to high levels of this shit, and all of a sudden, they get it. So it looks like the only way to get it is, you know, either pass on from your family or severe chemical exposure. And guess what? Severe chemical exposure. So for the EPA to say the air was even remotely safe is such a fucking lie. It's unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, it's causing I mean, think about it. I have a genetic mutation of, you know, it's not just I have a disease that's impossible to get. So
right.
That means my DNA has been altered. That's like Chernobyl. I mean, there's going to be three-headed babies in this whole thing. There's going to, of course, there's a lot of cancer. This is going to, you know, mess up a lot of people and their genetics and their genes and their DNA. And there's going to be fallout from this for generations. I mean, really, it's like Planet of the Apes. The place should be the Forbidden Zone, and it should be evacuated. It's dangerous.
So you feel that still the air around Lower Manhattan is dangerous? I mean,
I don't think the air right now outside is dangerous around Lower Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because you know, wind comes along and all that. But, and I think certain buildings were cleaned very well, and they're fine. It's just the buildings that weren't cleaned well, and the HVAC systems, the air conditioning and heat systems, and the vents, if those aren't cleaned right, the stuff is just recirculating over and over again.
Right.
I mean, the reason they haven't taken on the Deutsche Bank building completely yet is because it's so dangerous. It's so full of mold that they're afraid that if the mold gets, and it's black mold, the kind of, if you breathe in a couple drops of it, you're dead. So, I mean, there's really bad chemical problems down there and mutated. And because of, you know, of this unprecedented amount of chemicals mixing up with each other, there's been mutations of chemicals people have never seen before. So,
wow,
you know, I'll take it for what it's worth. Yeah,
it's so overwhelming to me. I mean, I kind of feel myself at a loss for words for a lot of this stuff because
right, and it is, and it's very depressing. I mean, there's no answer to this, so that's why a lot of people don't want to talk about it. And the news is like, well, okay, here's the problem. What's the solution? Well, there doesn't really seem to be a solution. I think the best solution is to tell people, let them know that where they're living may not be safe, and let them make a decision for themselves. And especially kids, you know.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, parents can make a decision whether the air is safe or not. You know, they can listen to the EPA or ignore the government or do whatever they want. The kids don't really have a choice, and there's schools down there, and it's a mess.
Right. Wow. And then, yeah, it's so hard because
hopefully they'll clean it. I mean, I'm hoping that they'll clean it. But from what I understand, also from the police and the firefighters, is there was quite a lot of radiation released also on 9/11,
right,
which has not been talked about. I mean, I know about the mercury generators in the World Trade Center and the freon gas which burn, which turns into nerve gas. But it turns out there's a lot of radiation. There were a lot of, like, you know, machines down there that had a lot of radiation in them, like MRI machines and stuff like that.
All right.
But, you know, all the computers and everything else. And then it turns out that they've been storing some nuclear material down there. I mean, you know, secretly. So none of this is good.
Right. And then for them, I was thinking when you were saying that everything needs to be cleaned down there, for that to happen, not only do they have to, like I'm assuming, close down numbers of buildings, right?
Right.
To get it done, they also have to admit that, okay, we've been covering this up, and now we're
right.
going to take care of it.
That's where I think the kicker is that the EPA, it's funny. I lived in a nice building downtown, and everyone in our building was freaked out about the air, obviously. And
yeah.
So the building hired its own environmental cleaners to come in, environmental testers, to test the air. But they were crooked. They did these tests that were from the 1940s and 1950s. And they were called, if you're going to test for dangerous poisons in the air, you do aggressive air testing, which is like you put a fan on and you have a hose sucking in the air for like an hour.
Right.
After the air is stirred up. And then you find out what particles are in the air. The way the environmental companies did it, and the way the EPA did it, was they have like a hose in a room that was static, where no one could move in it for hours. So they would, but that's not reality. In reality, people walk around their houses. They walk on carpet. You know,
right.
They move around, and that's what gets dust going. So it's, you know, fake data, basically. And also, in the beginning, the EPA was saying, well, our monitors didn't show any hazardous materials. The truth was, their monitors didn't show any hazardous materials because their monitors were so clogged up with dust, they weren't working. They won't say our monitors weren't working. They'll just say they didn't show any hazardous stuff. They didn't show anything because they weren't working. It's amazing. It's a lot of linguistics and wordplay.
Right.
That's been used to cover up a lot of bad stuff.
Man, so you're at the point where you are now. You're so sick that you're unable to work, and you're working. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really home all the time now. It's getting worse and worse, and it's painful, and it's a drag. I mean, my health insurance is crappy, and I joined I was hoping that the 9/11 medical treatment program would be a lifesaver, and it turns out that they're not. In fact, they're putting Band-Aids on gunshot wounds. They're lying about stuff on top of it. I'm like, are you going to report this polycystic kidney disease as part of your 9/11 study of effects from 9/11? And they're like, no, because it's not part of our study. So we're never going to get a straight answer what happened from 9/11, because if they're not marking down this or cancer, then who's going to ever know? Only they've picked certain guidelines and certain conditions that they'll acknowledge, and everything else they won't acknowledge. And sure, there are people who will lie and make up stuff. I don't know why, but I'm sure that's very rare compared to what's really happening. And then there's the problem of fraud of people. I was talking to somebody who was involved with 9/11 nonprofits, and they said that it's amazing how many people are fraudulently filing stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I didn't know. I can't believe that someone would take on that kind of bad karma,
Yeah.
Lie about something so awful. It's like, what is wrong with these people?
But then, in your case, I mean, how could you be lying? I mean, like, you've got huge cysts on your kidneys. I mean,
right.
That's pretty easy to prove. And it's pretty
easy. Yeah, I'm total proof. I am total proof that the 9/11 dust was poisonous, because this didn't start until after September 11, 2001. The cysts in 2005 were a quarter the size they are right now. They're growing at an alarming rate. My DNA has been altered. I have every other 9/11 disease, decreased pulmonary function, GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease, which everyone seems to have. It's a thing where the dust just burns your esophagus and gives you ulcers. I have that. I have, my sinuses are so wrecked, they say I need sinus surgery. I have all the classic 9/11 stuff.
Right.
The diseases they recognize. But I've got this also. And they're saying, well, this isn't part of it. That is. It's like, somebody give me a break, please. It's
right.
So obvious. But it's being covered up. So it's forced me, I can't get money from the government for help. I can't get any help. So it's forced me to start a website and try to raise funds for myself to be able to pay for doctors to get help, because I can't afford it. And insurance won't pay for a lot of this stuff. And I'm not talking about like crazy environmental doctors who say, we need to put you here and you can't breathe in this for days and what, none of that stuff. I'm talking just regular doctors.
Right.
It's amazing. And the government doesn't want to admit any of this because they don't want to admit any liability. And so it's been really rough.
Yeah.
And also, what I found, this is very interesting and very scary, is a lot of New Yorkers in denial about this. That's the big thing, is a lot of people don't want to believe it. And I don't blame them. Who would want to believe that, around where they live could be very dangerous,
Right.
Especially if they've been living there for years and stuff. And who wants to admit that the air that they're breathing could kill them? So it's funny. I tell people that I'm sick with this, and they're like, that can't be. And I'm asking, what's going through your brain that makes you say that can't be? And they're like, well, I was down there a few times and I feel fine, and or I was down there, or I visited down there before, I've been down there. And so everyone puts in their own head, oh, I've been down there, I've been exposed, I don't want to die, so this guy better be lying.
Yeah, you know? It's a reaction of being afraid.
Yeah, it's just a reaction of being afraid, right, which I don't blame everybody for being afraid. This is really, really scary, and I'm not trying to cause a panic at all. I mean, that's like the one thing I said in the video too. Is
yeah,
I don't want people panicking, because if it was announced that it was totally poisonous and everyone was going to die if you were down there, there'd be a mass panic and mass trouble, and it would be horrible. I just think, you know, some real tests and maybe a slow, orderly evacuation of downtown would make sense right now,
right,
until they figure all this out. Get people out of harm's way. That's what you're supposed to do. And I don't think that everyone who breathes in the air is going to die. It depends on the amount of exposure you had and also your immune system. I mean, because I had asthma before and stomach stuff before, of course my immune system wasn't as good as everyone else's. So, of course, I got sicker. But if people were totally healthy before, maybe their immune system fought it off, you know? Plus, I was down there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, breathing in gases because the fires were burning. So, you know, just because you're exposed to it doesn't mean you're going to drop dead from it. You can get sick from it. But a lot of people who were exposed, like me, for a very long time are dropping dead. And that's a scary thing. And the fact that it's causing genetic mutations is just, that's crazy. That's Chernobyl.
Yeah, I'm saying the obvious by saying that's scary, but that's scary.
Yeah, but you know, it's not fair. It's not fair that people aren't given these warnings and this knowledge. I think that, you know, people need to know things to make decisions, and you can present it in a way that's not scary. You don't have to, like, you know, hit people over the head with it and scare the hell out of them. You can, you know, present it in a way that, you know, show timetables and the amount of exposure and how long you were down there, and show safety numbers, and have people take tests, get blood tests, get tested, have scans, and figure out exactly, you know, who's sick with what. Because as it turns out, the earlier detection of this stuff, you know, the better the treatment can be, the longer you can live.
Right.
So it's really silly not to have yourself checked out. I mean, I'm sure people are scared, really scared, like, oh my God, what if I have cancer from that? I don't want to know, you know? And that's a wrong attitude to have, because a lot of cancers, if caught early on, can be treated and knocked back into remission. It's when it gets too late and it metastasizes all over the body, which seems what's happening with this PKD I have now, which is metastasizing all over my body, that's when you're in trouble.
Right.
So early warnings are good. And the fact that that the people are not being told, that's bad.
Yeah. So
sorry to be put down.
Well, yeah, dude, come on, cheer up. Just kidding.
Dude, man, it's okay. People say to me, 9/11, dude, aren't you over that yet?
Are you serious? People actually say that?
Mm-hmm. A lot. You know, 9/11, that was like 6 years ago. Aren't you over that yet?
Wow. Well, talk to my cysts about being over it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right, you know. No, actually, I'm more interested in Britney Spears' fat and Paris Hilton's blowjobs. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy world we live in. Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. Yep.
So if people want to...
And also, the government's also very good at throwing up smoke screens, you know.
Oh,
and other
yeah.
stupid news stories to avoid the real stories that are going on. If you look back at history, Agent Orange took a zillion years to even come out that it existed. After the first Gulf War, there was depleted uranium and the Gulf War syndrome, you know, children born with no arms, a lot of problems happening. Government never officially acknowledged it. Still, to this day, people from the first Gulf War are very sick and dying, and there's been genetic mutations from that stuff. You look at, like, Libby, Montana, where an asbestos mine collapsed, and everyone in the town basically died. And over a 20-year period, and guess who was responsible for cleaning up and running the asbestos mine? Halliburton. So it all ties in together.
Right.
You know, it's like the people who are running the White House are the ones who do all the covering up anyway.
Right.
And even Christy Todd Whitman, who I can't stand, said that her orders came from the White House to talk about the air. And in 2003, George Bush ordered an executive order saying, talking about the environmental impact of 9/11 is now a national security issue.
Oh, so, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was even threatened. I was even threatened with that. I'll say it out loud. I was even threatened with that. They told me if I kept talking about it, I'd end up in Guantanamo Bay.
Are you serious?
I was a traitor. Oh, absolutely. I went and saw lawyers, and lawyers were scared to death about talking about this. And they said, if you keep talking about this, it's considered treason now, and they'll throw you in Guantanamo Bay, and they'll call you a traitor and all these horrible things. And I'm like, it's just the truth. You know, well, it's not patriotic to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't like the truth here in the United States.
Yeah, we like the we like the fantasy. Hey, everyone likes the fantasy.
Yeah.
So what? You know, if you know the truth that it can save your life, it's kind of important to know the truth.
Yeah, I mean, the fantasy can only last so long. I mean, the truth is gonna rise up. So yeah,
I think eventually everyone's gonna find out about this, and they're gonna go, but. All the politicians who are in power now will be gone. Everyone will be gone like, oh, well, it's not my problem. It's their problem, you know?
Right.
People have been slowly, slowly selling their lands in Lower Manhattan. I know people who own buildings down there who have dumped them for half the price they paid for them to get out of the real estate market down there. It's been very quiet. I mean, you have to wonder why half the place is vacant down there, and also why they were offering tenants to move down there, like, $2,000 reductions in rent. You know, they're offering all these tax incentives for people to move down there and all these businesses to move down there and stay down there. In fact, a lot of the money that was allocated for 9/11 victims and small businesses went to places like Century 21 and J&R Music World and Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks. They were given a lot of government funds to open up places down there. The money that was allocated for small businesses and for people who were sick, it was given to these corporations to open up down there to give it the appearance of safety. Like, oh, well, Century 21 or Starbucks opens down here, it must be safe. And they were given government money to open up. I mean, these people got millions of dollars, and they're already millionaires. It's insane. But that's what happens.
Yeah, and then that money isn't used to help people like you who...
No, it's not. And then the firefighters and me and everyone else dies. Right, exactly. It's, you know... But hey, you can get a latte downtown on any corner. All four, I mean, like, you go to the corner of, like, Chambers and Broadway, there are, like, four Starbucks down there. It's like, hey, you might die of the poison, but you can get a latte on any corner.
You'll be wide awake while you do it.
You can get wide awake. Right? It's craziness. It's you know, it's so absurd. It's a Monty Python routine. I mean, I have to take a comic look at this in some ways because it's so absurd. It is so absurd. It's, you know, what if someone attacks me with a banana? No, we're, you know, it's like the Monty Python routine. You know?
Right.
It's insane. It's totally insane. And the more covering up they do of it, the more insane it becomes. And there are people out protesting. I've been asked to join a lot of environmental groups, which I think are very good. But the problem with environmental groups is a lot of them get too caught up in the whole environmental thing. It's like, well, besides cleaning up downtown, we need more parks. We need to legalize marijuana. We need to clean the water. And, you know, it's like, okay, one thing at a time, you know. We got Chernobyl downtown. Let's get rid of that problem first.
And then we'll talk about parks. Yeah.
Planting trees, right. Yeah. It's crazy. But, you know, the thing I find disturbing and actually good about this is that the two front runners in the American politics race for 2008 for president are both from New York, basically. It's Giuliani and Clinton.
Right.
They were both here during 9/11. They both kept their mouths shut. Clinton started talking eventually. Giuliani never did. But, I mean, they knew. And to have these people be president of the United States without coming clean about what's going on, I mean, do you really want these people to be representing the country if their constituency is being poisoned to death and they're not talking about it? No.
No.
You know. So, and this country is so fascinated with politics and politicians that you know, now is a good time to talk about this because these people are running for president. So now it might get some media attention, I'm hoping, because, you know, Chris Matthews and Harbaugh can talk about, hey, Senator Clinton, did you know about the poison air? Huh? We didn't do anything. Hey, Giuliani, did you know, only caring about their careers, not, of course, of the careers or the lives of thousands of others who are dying.
Exactly.
It's insane. You know, I mean, I can imagine, you know, like on the news, you know, if Paris Hilton lived that time and got sick, it would be all over the front page. Paris Hilton's sick from 9/11 dust. Forget everyone else, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Paris Hilton got sick. It's insane. It's insane. But people do need to know.
Yeah, so hopefully, well, a few more people will know now after listening to this fabulous podcast.
Podcast is, it's great, and they can check out myspace.com/helpgeorgetab, and they'll see a lot more information up there. I've got some videos of stuff, of interviews I've done on television. Back in like 2002, I was on the cover of the Washington Post talking about this. I was in People magazine, and back then they were calling me Henny Penny. It was very funny. The media was calling me Henny Penny, saying, oh, he's yelling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And I'm like, no, the sky already fell. You know, you got a little late. But everyone, I was controversial. I mean, Fox News did a whole thing about discrediting me.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I mean, everyone after me, like, I was a crazy person. And I lost a lot of friends. Everyone's saying, you're crazy, George, the air is fine, the government said it's fine. And it's like, it's not fine if I'm puking up blood. I'm telling you, you know?
But, yeah. And that was even before, was that even before you were diagnosed with the polycystic kidney disease?
Oh, yeah, I was sick right away from 9/11. I was sick within a week of living back down there and continued to be sick for months and months and months until I got the hell out of there. I was sick. And it wreaked all kinds of havoc. I didn't even find out about the polycystic kidney disease until last month. You know, I just knew that I was sick with all these different problems, and I kept ending up in a hospital every other week with some other disease, but no one could figure out what the main problem was. And now they figured it out, and unfortunately, it's a main problem that can't be fixed. And so there you go.
I didn't know that diagnosis was so recent.
Yeah, the diagnosis was last month at Bellevue. And I was just like, you got it. And then I they're like, you have this disease. I'm like, well, what is it? And they're like, it's untreatable, uncurable. I'm like, what? And I go home and I look it up on the internet. I'm like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys better treat this. And they're like, no, it's not part of our program. I'm like, what the hell? You know, you didn't get it from 9/11, it's inherited. I'm like, excuse me? You know. So they're nice enough, they're going to do some MRI so I can at least know more about it so I can figure out how long I have to live. But, you know, the whole thing is it's a sham, and the people really need to step up and take responsibility and help people out. I've been talking to firefighters and cops now for years, and nobody wants to sue for $1 billion. Nobody wants to sue for a big house in Beverly Hills and a pool. Everyone wants just to be able to pay for their health coverage and help their families. And if they got kids in school and they can't work, you know, get some money to put their kids in school. That's it. No one's looking for a handout, you know?
Yeah.
Especially not people who were not real people who were down there and lived to that crap, because no one would ever want to cash in on the amount of debt that day. A lot of us feel like we're just lucky to be alive after seeing all that crap.
Right.
And after surviving that, you know, no one would want to be, no one would want to profit off this. Nobody. The people who want to profit from this are the fake people, the people who weren't there, people who... I'm telling you, if you were down there and you saw, you know, couples jumping out the window holding hands, women and babies jumping out those windows, and seeing what I saw and what people saw down there, you would never think of ever taking advantage of a situation like that. No human being could do that, you know. It's just incomprehensible to me. You know, the government claiming, no, 9/11 scams, 9/11 scams. I'm like, yeah, well, those people should be arrested and thrown in jail for good, you know, the people who really are doing it. But there are so many sick people, and, you know, it's pretty easy to tell who was there and who wasn't there, you know.
Yeah.
There are tests, you know, and it's just so sad that it's being covered up like this. because if this is America, this is New York City. This is the most important city in the world. This is New York, you know. And if they're covering it up here, I mean, imagine what's going on around the world.
Oh yeah.
You know. You know, if it could be a cover up on this side, I know people in the EPA who are so sorry I'm sick. I know people in the EPA who have donated money to me because they feel so guilty about not being able to tell me that the air was poisoned. They knew, but because of national security, they couldn't tell me.
That's fucked up.
That's how terrible it is. You know, that government employees were forced under national security not to talk about it. And now carry the deaths and the sicknesses of thousands of people they had to lie to. And I feel terrible for those people. You know, they got into involved with the EPA because they wanted to protect the environment. And instead, you know, they had a lie. And it's you know, I think it's all a symptom of this White House anyway. I don't think this would have happened if we had someone else, you know, a different administration in the White House. But, you know, get Dick Cheney involved in there, who's been involved with this stuff forever. And look what you get. You know.
Yeah. Was it your letter to Clinton that I was reading today where you were talking about, I think it was that. I read so many different things today where you were talking about what kind of society we're building based on what's going on in the White House, the whole inability
right.
to
we're
take
building
responsibility.
Right, I was saying that. It's yes, because of the way things have been going for the last bunch of years, and especially now with this whole 9/11 fallout and stuff, what you're getting is a society that just finger points and says, it's their fault. It's their fault.
Right.
I have not seen one person in the Bush administration take responsibility for anything. You know, maybe one guy fell on his sword, Colin Powell, you know, I'm not being involved with this, I'm falling on my sword, you know. That's it. I mean, everyone else's finger points or, you know, gets away with it or quits before something can happen. You hear every day someone's resigning, you know, because they don't want to be implicated in any of this.
Right.
But everyone's finger pointing. And then you have George Bush saying, I take full responsibility because God told me to do it. You're thinking, oh, my God.
That is so insane.
Manifest destiny. It's insane. It's insane. No one is taking responsibility for anything. And so now you have kids growing up thinking it's okay to point their fingers at other kids and say, he did it. You know, he spilled the milk, or, you know, he stole the money, or he did this, or he punched that girl. And I hear stories from parents whose kids are in school now, and they say that, you know, that they have to come into, like, you know, parent-teacher meetings because kids are now lying about, like, what they did in class and pointing at other kids and saying they did it. And they're learning this from the president. It's like, hey, if the president does it, you know, then it's okay. I mean, that's what we all aspire to be, the president of the United States, you know. And this whole administration is doing that. All these companies, you know, Enron and all these oil companies. I mean, it's just all, it's, there used to be, when I grew up, I mean, I sound like I'm so old, and I'm not. It's just that, you know, I read Spider-Man as a kid, you know, in comic books, and Batman. I grew up thinking, you know, of Superman, like, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, you know. And now it's lying and cheating and getting away as much as you can, you know. And that's what kids are learning now. And it's very sad, you know, very, very sad, because I've never seen a country like this before. You know, you ask a kid, you know, do you want to be president? Hell no, I want to be a drug dealer and make lots of money. Or I want to be, you know, a real estate guy and own lots of places and make lots of money. But you never hear about anyone wanting to do anything that's, you know, to help people. People, you know, it's become very greedy now. You know, I remember when I was a kid, people wanted to be firemen and be policemen and be astronauts and pilots. And you don't hear that anymore, you know. I want to be CEO of a corporation. And,
yeah.
Know, take everyone's portfolios. And, you know, it's scary. I mean, you know. Meanwhile, we're farming out all our work to third world countries. So there's no jobs. This administration is allowing that to happen. For being so big, they put on this flag of being so American, yet all our jobs are being exported, nothing's being done here, and our people are dying. I think these people are the traitors. These people should be bought up on traitor charges. They're the ones who are non-patriotic and non-American. I've never seen it this bad before.
Yeah, that'll never happen, though. I mean, it's all about, you know, what we're manipulated to believe is patriotic. Or, you know, the people that fall for it anyway.
I think a lot of people see through it, but I think that because they impeached Clinton for a blowjob, which is the most insane thing in the whole world, and the whole world's laughing at us, because Clinton was impeached for a blowjob, they'll never impeach another president. I mean, even though Bush has done awful, horrible things that he should be, you know, in prison or executed for, you know, it'll never happen. Because the country's so, we impeached the last person, we can't impeach another one, you know. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It was really stupid.
Yeah,
and it's really short-sighted.
If only, it's, yeah. Wow.
Wow. So my advice to everyone is have fun. Live it up while you can. Enjoy your life. You know, play video games, listen to punk rock, you know.
And
do whatever you like.
Yeah.
And be with people you love and have a good time. And you know, not really worry about this stuff because there's not much you can do about it. Just realize that if you have children or you're around kids, you know, try to give them some knowledge, you know, a little bit of wisdom of being able to help each other out. I mean, that's what this whole country was based on. That's what the whole world is based on, is, you know, helping strangers, you know. That's the whole idea. And you don't see that very much anymore. And that's the problem.
Yeah. We can bring it back. It's like in small little places it's going on.
Yeah, this is going on in every, you know, I mean, this is a Walmart nation at this point now. And I'm not a crazy left-wing guy, you know, and I'm not, you know, some left-wing conspiracy theorist. And in fact, I'm pretty much middle of the road politically.
Right.
You know, but this is insane. Walmart, you know, is hiring people and not giving them health insurance and making a minimum wage nation. So you have the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and there's no more middle class. And this country was founded on the middle class. So what you have is, you know, rich people and slaves. We're going backwards. We are going backwards so fast. It's unbelievable. You know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. And I hope it stops. I hope that, you know, the next president that gets elected, and I hope it's Hillary Clinton, personally, because I do like her, and I do think that she really does believe in health care. And she did try to do something when she was in office before. And I think that, you know, health care in this country is the most important thing. And if she can get that started, then a lot of other things can get started, and a lot of help can be given to people. But right now, the healthcare system is so broken that we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think she has the right idea. And she's likable, and her husband's likable. And, you know, I think these people are really patriots, not like these crazy people in the White House now. I mean, I swear, I'm a fan of Ronald Reagan now. I couldn't stand the guy in the 80s. I was playing in punk rock bands going, fuck Reagan, you know. But now Reagan looks great. I mean, and I read a quote today on Google which said from Reagan, which is the 9 scariest words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. That's what Reagan said. And I'm thinking, that guy was funny. And he was good. I mean, if I'm thinking Reagan was a good guy, then this Bush guy.
It's like that.
Holy gosh. Boy, things have slid downhill, you know.
Damn, that's a good point.
We used to think Watergate was a big deal. I mean, you know, this president is killing thousands of people, you know, in New York City and lying about it. Meanwhile, we're killing hundreds of thousands of citizens in Iraq for no reason at all, you know, except that, you know, we can profit. The grumpies can profit from making weapons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Fight over oil. It's insane. It's an insane world. And this country used to be the greatest country in the world, and I think it still can be the greatest country in the world. It's just got to screw its head back on right and start thinking globally. Like, we are a member of the rest of the world, and our nation is only, like, what, 230 years old or something? I mean, there are countries that have been around for, like, 500 years, you know, 1,000 years. I mean, we're babies. You know, we're a baby country. And to think that we know what we're doing is so arrogant and so wrong. We should take, you know, we should take advice from Europe and from other countries that have been around for a long time and understand how things work and look at the big picture instead of looking at the... We look now... This country looks at the four-year picture. That's how it is. It's oh, what's the president going to be like for 4 years? And it's not even the four-year picture. It's a two-year picture because he's in office for 2 years and then... Or she's in office for 2 years, and then it's re-election time. So everyone looks at the very small picture. What can be done in 2 years? You know, in Europe and around the world, they think, what can be done in 25 years or 30 years to make the world better? You know, how can we stop global warming? This country thinks in two-year cycles. Now we're thinking in 24-hour news cycles. It's crazy.
That is really true. I hadn't even really noticed that, but now that you say it, it's, yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
And I think that way, too, especially with Bush in office. I'm almost trying to pretend that nothing is happening right now and things will
right.
start again.
Then when somebody else gets in office, everyone will be concentrating on whether they're doing a good job and who will be elected next and whatever, and it will always be that way because we've gotten into a way of looking at things very small and not the big picture and not over time. So there's no, you know, you're supposed to leave the world a better place than when you found it, and you're supposed to make the country a better place for your children, you know? And that has been America's idea for a very long time. But in the last 9 years, it's gone backwards completely. And now everyone's looking at the small picture. What am I going to be doing for the next 2 years? That's it. Where's the world going to be? What are my children going to be breathing in? You know, how are they going to be alive? How can they support themselves? Whatever. It's become very selfish. And the Bush administration is a perfect example of very short-sighted planning, you know, and it's disgusting. It's a horrible way to think.
Yeah.
And it's not giving humanity a chance, and every other country in the world must be laughing hysterically at us going, what a bunch of morons, you know. It's terrible, you know. It is terrible. You know, in this country, it's get rich quick or be poor. There's no such thing as, you know, enjoying your work anymore. And it's sad. It's sad. So have fun. That's my message.
I love it. And on that note, actually, I'm looking at the time. We've been talking for a long time. It's been about an hour.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, it was nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Give me the website again so we can make sure everyone...
Okay, it's www.myspace.com/helpgeorgetab. Help, GEORGETABB.
Yeah. So, and even if you can't help financially, everyone should go check
this
stuff out.
No, just spread the word. I mean, I'm thinking it's just as important. Financially is great. But just tell people. Spread the word that... Because, like I said in a post I wrote today, you know, everyone has all these 9/11 conspiracy theories. Oh, there are robots, drones flow into it, you know. Oh, it was all done by somebody, or it was all done by, you know, somebody else. And there's all these conspiracy theories, right? But everyone's missing the point that the smoking gun is that there's people's DNA is being altered. If the government is lying about that, then use that as a building block to find out more about what they're lying about. You know, say, okay, question them. Say, okay, if you're lying about the air, what else are you lying about? And build on a foundation. Don't have a conspiracy theory about things that you can't possibly know. Start small and work your way toward it. Find out what's wrong with the picture and keep building on that. And that's how you find out the truth. Not by taking some wild guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. People would rather, you know, believe a UFO came down and blew up the World Trade Center, you know, then, you know, start with a simple fact. People are poisoned. They're all dying. The government's lying. Something's wrong with this picture. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
And don't fall for the Paris Hilton, Britney Spears smokescreens, among
right.
others. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling these conspiracy theories are started by the neocons just to make everyone look ridiculous. I mean, you know. They're probably doing it to make it look retarded, you know? I mean,
yeah.
There are people who, you know, like this guy Alex Jones or something, he's some big left-wing political nut. And it's funny, but when my story comes around to him, he's, like, turned it down a million times. They don't want to know about me, because I'm not driving a UFO with Elvis, you know? I'm just a set guy. You know, I'm not the reincarnation of Olive Hitler who came back to take over New York or something. It's crazy. So, pay attention to what's around you. That's what I think.
Hells yes.
And it might be nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for taking the time out. I know that, of course, you're not feeling so great.
And email me when it's up. I can listen to it myself.
Yeah, okay. I definitely will. And
thanks,
all right, then. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
Have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.